Good morning and welcome to Asbury. It's so great to be in worship with you today. And if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. And I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads that are provided for you. If you've looked at your worship bulletin this morning, you'll notice it's a little different. Today is UMW Sunday, and our ladies will be leading us in worship today, and we're so thankful for them and thankful for their ministry. I call your attention to the announcements. Asbury Got Talent is May the 4th. There's information in your bulletin about that. And please look at the youth news section. There are a lot of great things going on in the youth ministry. Mary Noble has an announcement for you this morning. Mary?
As the president of Asbury's United Methodist Women, I just want to welcome you all here today, and I see a lot of women out there that are not currently members of UMW, and we take one Sunday a year to spotlight United Methodist Women and what we do, and hopefully invite those of you that are not working with us to join us. And so I was thinking about what United Methodist Women means to me, and some of the things that came to mind were working in the stew pot kitchen when it's 90 degrees in the kitchen, packing flood buckets, cleaning up the Asbury kitchen, and I thought, well, that's probably not a real good thing to push UMW for. However, on further reflection, I realized all of the wonderful things that I've learned through United Methodist Women and how much good they do throughout not only Asbury, Arkansas, the United States, but the whole world. And we are a mission-oriented group, and some of the best friends that I have met through United Methodist Women. And so not only do we do those hard-working jobs, but we have lake retreats, we have potlucks, we have Christmas parties, and we really expand our knowledge of mission throughout the world. So I would like you, if you're not a member, to consider joining. And in the insert in your bulletin, we have the contact people. So if you'd like to contact one of those people or look for someone that has this tag on their front today that says, "Don't think of it as women's work, UMW. It's God's work." So I invite you to join. Thank you.
Thank you. And let's take a moment and greet one another.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
My soul shall exalt in my God.
For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation.
He has covered me with the robe of righteousness.
Our opening hymn is hymn number 92, For the Beauty of the Earth. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 6.
Affirmation of faith this morning can be found printed in your bulletin. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Children, come up here with me today. Oh, we've got a good group. Yay! And even their leader is here. Come on up, kids. Oh, boy, this is great. Maybe she's going to help. Okay, I want you all to answer a question that I have. What do you know that this means? Seeing is believing. Does anybody know what that means? Seeing is believing. Anybody have any idea? Well, if you see something, you think it's true, right? If you don't see it, then what? You don't think it's true. Very good. Okay. Well, I am going to ask you to watch me do something. First, I'm going to say, do you think that I would be able to put two paper clips together without touching them? Anybody think I can do that? Hook them together? No, nobody thinks I can do that. Okay, well, I have a little demonstration here. Here are two paper clips, and here is a dollar bill that I have folded to make a Z. Can you see this Z? Okay, I'm going to flatten this Z. I'm going to put a paper clip over on this side. And I'm going to put another paper clip. Took me forever to learn this. And over here on this side, in the back, I'm going to put another paper clip. Now, what do you think is going to happen? Anybody got any ideas? They're going to hook together. Who doesn't believe that's true? Okay, now this is going to pop out, so somebody's got to pick it up and show the audience here that they are hooked together. Okay, they're going to come closer and closer and closer. Here they come, closer and closer. Pop! Yay! Okay, you saw that with your own eyes, didn't you? Oh, he took it apart. That's all right, but it did get together. They did get together. You guys are wonderful. Okay, well, if you come to Vacation Bible School, I'll show you that trick. Just a little plug for Vacation Bible School. Sometimes we have to see things for ourselves before we believe them, right? A long time ago, after Jesus was killed and put in a tomb, and then his body was raised, his followers didn't believe that he was actually alive. So one day, about a week after his death, they were all in a locked room, and who should appear before them? Jesus, that's right. And they said, "You can't be Jesus. He died." And he said, "Okay, well, look at my hands and my feet and my side. Now do you believe that I'm Jesus?" And they believed because they saw him and his wounds. Now those people were blessed by Jesus, all of his followers. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those that don't see me, but still believe." And that's what we are all here to do. So will you fold your hands and let's pray. Dear God, please help us to be believers and not doubters. And help us to follow Jesus' ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer, I call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in your bulletin this morning, and we have some additions. We want to remember Bonnie Covey. We want to remember Susan Williams. We'll be having surgery next week. We want to keep her in our thoughts and prayers. And we celebrate with Richard and Reagan Hilgeman on the birth of their daughter, Madison. The proud grandparents are Mike and Barbara Block. So let's take our joys as well as our concerns to God in prayer this morning. Holy and Almighty God, the resurrection rejoicings have faded and the Easter lilies have dropped their blooms on the carpet and the chocolate candy has been eaten and we're back to normal. And yet in the midst of this back to normal feeling, we find ourselves with the apostles. We live in the afterglow of the resurrection. And like them, we too have fears and doubts. As the bewildered disciples pondered the stories of your appearance, you penetrated the darkness of their fear and doubt with your word of peace. Dear God, increase our understanding and open our minds and hearts to receive you. Lord, we want to believe. Help our unbelief. And so you show us your hands so we may reach out to mend the broken. You show us your feet so we may walk with those the world ignores, the hungry, the homeless, the hopeless. Give us faith, small as a mustard seed, so that we can be your faithful people. Believing in your power to save, believing in your power to reign supreme, believing that we can share this good news with everyone we meet. And we pray this morning for people who doubt the purpose of life, who face feelings of meaningless and despair. Our hope and our prayer is that all of us recognize that no door of circumstance is so heavy that it can lock you out. You come into our situations when we have that sinking feeling and speak your word of peace to us, letting your love shine, and you take our endings and you make your new beginnings. You surprise and astound us, dear God. You challenge us to reconsider what is possible. So this morning, we offer our prayer in the name of your Son, who has given us new life and renewed hope and taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This morning we have wonderful examples of a church in mission and a church that's reaching out to others. The UMW, you heard what Mary Noble said about their activities, not only locally, but around the world. This afternoon is the Stone Soup Ministry at Quapaw United Methodist Church, 16th in Louisiana. Greg Stanzel is our coordinator. This is a wonderful outreach ministry to the homeless. If you'd like to be a part of that, see Greg after the service, or just show up at Quapaw at 1:30 this afternoon. Let us pray. Dear God, be with us and bless us as we participate in ministries of healing and hope through this church. We're thankful for those who give of their time and their witness, their energy and resources in our community, in the state and around the world. May everything we do glorify you and bring comfort, hope, and healing. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Good morning. I'd like to begin first by reading Matthew 14, verses 35 to 36. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word into all the surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they implored him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched, they were cured. Sometimes our souls and our relationships with our Lord Jesus just need to be touched by the fringe of his cloak. When we kneel before him and seek to let him touch us, we feel the feeling of his healing.
Standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 189, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Oh, happy to share with you from the Gospel of John as we turn to the 20th chapter, looking at verses 19 through 29. May the people of God be inspired, be filled with this word of God as recorded in John 20, 19 through 29. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Doors are wonderful things. Doors keep things out, and doors keep things in. I can remember a colleague of mine in ministry who shared a story with me about one Sunday afternoon that he went to visit some new members of the church, a zealous United Methodist pastor. He caught that Sunday afternoon. He arrives to the home, goes up toward the porch, and sees the door not quite shut. He knocks on the door, no reply. He opens the door just a hair more and calls out their name. No reply. He's a little concerned. And as he begins to turn around to go to his car when he's going to call the police, he glances over to the side and sees another room and finds the couple sharing affection. I asked the pastor, my friend, "Oh my, what did y'all say to each other the next Sunday when you saw each other in church?" He said, "Not a single word was ever said until the Sunday I said my goodbye 4 years later." And he came up to me and he said, "Preacher, I'm really sorry to see you go. But if I may, I'd like to offer you a bit of advice. Try to avoid open doors. Just leave your business card instead." Doors, wonderful inventions. Keep people in and keep people out. Now, the kind of door used in today's passage was a unique thing. It was the large kind of wooden door that had a special kind of lock on it, a lock that you and I would probably not see today. For the door had a lock that had small iron pins in it, and a flat key would be the kind that would coordinate the holes with the pins in the door to be able to work it. Most likely it was this kind of door in which the 10 disciples found themselves shut from the rest of the world. Hiding from the angry Jews, which of course were still in such a stir, trying to explain Jesus' missing body. They were shut off from all that turmoil, trying to keep safe. They wondered if anyone had seen them with Jesus. After all, the angry mob had already connected Peter to him. Locked safely behind the door, away from all the chaos caused by the resurrected Jesus, the disciples plotted and no doubt sweated as to their next course of action. But suddenly, they sensed a change in the room. They looked around, and it was Jesus. Earlier that morning, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, but at evening came, there was Jesus with a second appearance. And here he is. There's no knock at the door. There's no twisting of the doorknob. There's no creaking of the heavy wooden door as it is moved. No, simply Jesus appears out of nowhere. And what does he say? He doesn't say, "Hi, you fellas, surprised you, didn't I?" No. What does he say? He says, "Peace be with you." That's an important message. That is the message right now that Jesus wants to tell them. You know, not only last words are very important, but first words in a conversation are very telling. He has an important message, and it's peace. Because Jesus needs the disciples' fear to be completed, to be over, done. They will be of no use to the kingdom if they are a bundle of nerves. Their fear will cancel out any credibility of what knowing Jesus Christ can do in the life of a human being. The posture of fear is not going to sell the message. Their fear will paralyze any ability to think clearly, to act responsibly, and to engage in any worthwhile ministry. So peace be with you, Jesus says. And in that word offers encouragement. Offers shalom to calm them. And let them know, first and foremost, he still loves them. He understands the fear. But it's time for the fear to be over. And the real faith to begin. Perhaps the disciples sensed Jesus' feeling concern over Peter's denials. Perhaps the disciples sensed Jesus' feeling knowing that they were sorrowful, frightened, perhaps ashamed, perhaps guilty, and most definitely confused. So here in the typical grace of Jesus Christ, he offers promise and hope and encouragement, not a rebuke. And then as the ultimate proof of his grace, he bares his hands. He shows the marks on his feet. He shows the indentation in his side where the spear had been. Upon seeing this, can you hear them? Can you hear them? They're rejoicing. They're crying out in amazement. They have transitioned from that feeling of fright to that amazing, amazing belief. Jesus' message of peace continues. As the Father sent me, so I send you. That is why Jesus is in the room with them. To offer them, to confirm their continued purpose. Up until this point, their purpose has been to study, to learn. Disciple means learner. Now there's the next phase of being a follower of Christ. They've got to be the bearer of the good news of the resurrection and of salvation, knowing Jesus Christ. They are now in training to be apostles, messengers. Jesus' death and resurrection did not complete their work. It has rather just begun. The fresh start of the continued mission is to spread the gospel of not only salvation, but that amazing, unconditional love that Jesus wants the whole world to experience. And it was most profoundly displayed in his willingness of death on the cross to forgive the sins of the world. Now, how will they do this? How will they share that message? Jesus had told them, as recorded in John 15, "A little while and you will not see me. And in a little while you will see me. And I will come to you and the world will not see me. But you will see me, that because I live, you will live also. And the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things. Peace I leave with you." And then, just to add power to the punch, he breathed upon them and offered the Holy Spirit, which they received. Those bolted doors, they flew wide open. The grip of fear was released from the disciples through the unleashing now of the Holy Spirit. The burden of sin was relieved through the power of Spirit given to them to forgive sins, and they would branch out into the world and do all of those things and more. Now think about them. Before Jesus presented himself in the new life, in the resurrected life, think about them. They were weak. They were vacillating back and forth. But now look at them. They're breathing in that power. You can see a transformation coming over their faces. Their expressions are from, "Oh my, what will we do?" to, "Okay, let's go." This would happen even to Thomas. Remember, only 10 disciples were found behind those closed doors. Judas was dead, and Thomas, for the moment, was missing in action. Thomas, known as Didymus or the twin, bless his heart, has had the nickname Doubting Thomas. What an unfortunate label. Put doubting in front of your name and see how you like it. But Thomas was really a very courageous and devoted disciple. Look in John 11, the death of Lazarus. Jesus hears of it and he's going to go. He must go. This is a dear family to him, Lazarus and Mary and Martha. But the disciples do not want him to go to Bethany for fear of the Jews, who are out to get them, trying to possibly stone him. And guess what? Hear what Thomas says. "Let us go then, that we may die also." Two things to bear in mind on this return, this post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. One is, Thomas had been present at Lazarus' resurrection. So Thomas believed in resurrection. Yet he wanted to see the reality of his Lord's resurrection. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of his side, I will not believe. Can we blame him? I mean, anyone that does any New Testament study at all understands false prophets. False prophecies were rampant. You would want to have seen also. Secondly, Jesus comes to them in a new form 8 days following his resurrection. He looks nothing like the Jesus they saw last. Bleeding, tortured, out of his last breath. Now look at him. Dazzling, radiant, in a body, but not quite the same. More radiant than they had even seen at the Mount of Transfiguration. And something else that's notable, Jesus allows them to touch him. 8 days earlier, he had not allowed Mary Magdalene to hug him or even touch the hem of his garment, because he had not yet ascended to God the Father. But he clearly has been with God now. And God has clearly sent him back to reveal his resurrected form. And to give them also the gift of the Holy Spirit, which would empower them to continue the mission. And seeing Jesus and touching his resurrected body at the side of the wounds from the cross, Thomas explains everything in his phrase as he exclaims, "My Lord and my God." Now I ask you, have you ever had one of those "My Lord and my God" moments? You don't get any closer to the presence and the reality of God than in those words, "My Lord and my God. I didn't know I'd get well, but you healed me. My Lord and my God, I didn't know how I could continue in my work, but you showed me. My Lord and my God, I didn't know I could forgive that person, even come close to it, but you gave me the love to give. My Lord and my God, I didn't see a way out of that conflict, but you cleared the path. My Lord and my God, where have you been there in that moment of divine revelation? And where now do you need that moment of that divine revelation? On this United Methodist Women's Sunday, when I have focused on the bolted doors in which the disciples found themselves behind, we celebrate the United Methodist Women carrying on their mission, affirming our kingdom work of open minds, open hearts, open doors. This rich heritage. You go to any United Methodist church, and what are you going to find? The backbone of that church is United Methodist women. Amen? Amen. Men, amen? Just wanted you to know that was an inclusive amen. Whether they're feeding in a local soup kitchen, stew pot, or helping with Quapaw Quarter stone soup. Whether they are supporting the children's ministries, the initiative of eradicating hunger in Pulaski County with helping with the school packs. whether they are on their own in the background knitting prayer shawls to comfort someone in their time of dire need, whether they're helping honor a staff person coming in to the life of Asbury or saying goodbye and going to their next venture. Whatever it is, you'll find them. They're not drawing attention to themselves. They're just quietly going about the work of the kingdom. I know within my own family legacy, your former pastor's wife and my grandmother was president of the WSCS. I get it, the extra 5-point round bonus points, Women's Society of Christian Service. And in her day, I remember in the obituary written in the conference journal, it talked about how she had been very dedicated to her work with the Methodist Children's Home and then to something larger as an officer with the World Methodist Children's Organization. Her heart was obviously with children and with the Methodist Church. Throughout our conference, we read in the United Methodist paper, or perhaps have been in the church where we have seen this firsthand, United Methodist women cooking up chicken dinners, having bake sales, whatever it is that they want to do to raise money for no more malaria, for nets to fight the mosquitoes, or for helping with wells in Congo so that people can do something that we take for granted every day, and that's to have pure, clean drinking water, water to bathe. United Methodist women, wonderful projects, wonderful women, empowering the kingdom, and they're driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are blessed and we are grateful. Many of you know that I have started Twitter, and one of my recent tweets was, when God seems to have a door closed where you wanted to go, until he opens that door where you need to go, just learn to dance in the hallway. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn of commitment is, we have a story to tell to the nations. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you'd like to come forward and renew your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, if you'd like to make that profession for the very first time, or if you'd like to just come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so now as we stand and sing. We have a story to tell to the nations, 569.
Oh.
Bible tells us that we are not given a spirit of timidity, but that we are to go forward and be bold in our faith. Fear knocked at the door of this world, and through Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, faith opened. Nobody was there. Go forward into the world now, claiming that power of the Holy Spirit given to you, and share the good news that God loves you and God loves this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.